Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. Last week we read, I grabbed the phone and smashed it to the ground, grinding it under my heel. It was too late to hide my presence, but it helped relieve my frustration, if only for a moment. Doesn't matter, he said, smiling broadly. I was live-streaming that. You just made me famous. I stormed past him and noticed three other people filming me with their smartphones. It wasn't much of a guess to know what tonight's headlines would read. Nobody tried to stop me as I ducked into an alley and took off at a run. 2. The rain had subsided to a sprinkle and the thunderstorm had disappeared. I had lost count of the number of blocks I had gone, but the rough weather had been working for me, keeping people more interested in where they were going than who they were passing. The change meant it was time to do something about my disguise. I had been lucky to have made it so far, but my window had closed. The loss of time would hurt, but I did not see a way around it. Gritting my teeth, I stopped in a mall bathroom. When I looked in the mirror, I was not surprised to see my disguise had washed away. Lucky indeed, I thought. I checked over my shoulder, half expecting a squad of cops to follow me in. Seconds ticked by while nothing happened. I shook my head and tried to force away my paranoia. Unfortunately, it did little to lessen the tension I felt in my chest. Muttering, I used a paper towel to dry the rainwater from my face, wiping off the last remnants of my disguise. I had just started on a new one when somebody entered the bathroom. I hid my face and went as calmly as I could into a stall, acting like I'd already been headed in that direction. Had he recognized me? I half expected him to leave without using the facilities. I'd be right behind him if he did. When he settled into a stall, I suppressed a sound of exasperation. I had hoped he would be quick and leave me alone again in the bathroom. I could not afford to waste time, so I pulled out my smartphone, inserted the battery, and turned it on. All my devices were turned off, even the new burner phone I had just picked up the day before. While I waited for my phone to boot up, I switched my jacket, pulled on a hat, and put a pair of sunglasses into my shirt pocket. Once my phone was functioning, I used the front-facing camera to finish the application of my disguise. I cut a few corners to keep the process quick and was soon ready to go. The man had not yet moved from his stall. The privacy paneling was not seamless and I could see the mirror through a crack. As much as I hated to wait him out, I thought it best to give him a few minutes. He had seen what I was wearing when I went into the stall. I didn't want to risk him noticing that I'd changed things up. I didn't want to give him a reason to remember me. 10 minutes later, the man dried his hands and left. I was on pins and needles, but also kicking myself for not taking a little extra time with my disguise. Once the bathroom was empty, I stuffed my old jacket into the trash and buried it under wet paper towels. I reviewed my work in the mirror. If somebody who knew me well saw me, they might make a connection. But the average person would need face rec to spot me. It was not my best work, but nobody else was going to recognize me with just their eyes. It did not need to be perfect. I just needed to get away. And I had lost too much time already. At the door of the bathroom, I took several breaths, guiding myself into the frame of mind of a man who had just gotten off work and was heading home. It took some effort, but I ignored the worry welling up in the back of my mind. I shook my head as I walked by a mall security officer. He glanced my way but moved on. I relaxed a notch. A couple of minutes later, I went back outside. The rain had stopped completely, the sun was out, and it was an almost pleasant temperature. Before too long, winter would set in, but for now, it was not so bad. At another time, I might have done my best to enjoy it. Ron had reported to Reed everything about our interactions. Reed, the ever-practical cold man, would have tasked a team to follow Ron. When they saw me getting close, they had decided to pull the rug out from underneath Ron. 2 birds with 1 stone. close a potential leak, and stoke people's anger against me all the more. Ron should not have said anything to Reed. He had not realized who he was dealing with. After watching Sam try so hard to recruit me, only to have it end with me putting bullets into him, and then have Reed using Sam's death to promote his most recent product, there was not much that was going to surprise me when it came to Reed. For Reed, people were like pawns in a game of chess, disposable and only important when he needed them. He would discard them without a second thought. It sickened me that he could twist my actions to his benefit, just like Peck. My actions had probably pushed Benji and Margaret down the path Reed wanted them to go. It would have been much harder for me to convince them he was an evil man, using them to do his bidding. I regretted that, if anything. 45 minutes later, I was beginning to think I had made it away. The time had felt like hours. I was tempted to change again, but had refrained from doing so because I had been careful and doubled back several times. There was no reason to switch out my jacket, and I was trying to let my paranoia guide me less. It was difficult, but it had to be done. Anger might have driven me to shoot Sam, but the root of my problem was paranoia. It fueled my passion. I had to distance myself from my emotions, or I was going to make things that much harder. I did my best to not look over my shoulder, and while I kept up a good pace, I was careful to make sure I wasn't going fast enough to call attention to myself. In a city of over 1.5 million people, it wouldn't be hard to disappear if I kept my wits about me and did not panic. By taking my time, I could avoid stupid mistakes. In my messenger bag, I still had another light jacket, 2 hats, and 4 pairs of sunglasses. It would be easy to disappear and become part of the crowd if I was patient. I caught myself looking over my shoulder, drawing the eye of a woman behind me. I gave her a tight smile, but cursed silently. I was starting to slip again into paranoia. I approached an empty park bench. The nearest person was out of earshot, so I took a seat and pulled out my phone. I had forgotten to turn it off back in the bathroom. Another mistake. Several deep breaths later, my pulse had slowed. Another minute later, and my head was beginning to clear. I sat soaking in the silence and let go of all my fears. It lasted for just a minute, but I felt better for it. My phone had several notifications that I ignored, choosing to focus on the Spectrum app notification. I had not dared download FaceRec, not yet. The Spectrum app was a known quantity and had enough users that if there were any surprises in the software, they were hidden. Peck might have been surprised to learn I had installed it. I even sometimes let it monitor the world around me, careful to not speak when I did. I got a kick out of flaunting my silence presence on his app, kind of like giving Peck the finger. Amid my troubles with Reed, it was a quiet reminder that I had not forgotten about Peck. The best part about having the app on my phone was that as soon as Spectrum was on to me, I would get a notification that the wanted terrorist, Jake Ramsey, was in the area. The notification had saved me several times, so although it was risky, I kept my ongoing dance with the devil. My phone rang. Chris, the only one who had this number. I was tempted not to answer because I needed to get moving, but I wanted to know if she had found something on Margaret or Benji. I could spare a second or two. More likely calling to yell at me again, I thought. She had arranged a meeting in person last week just to berate me for killing Sam. I had left before she was done and before I could learn if she had looked into the kidnappings. "Are you starting a murder of the week?" Chris demanded. "Did somebody hire you to do those things?" "Good to speak to you too," I said. Most start off with a salutation. "Try to keep off the news, and I'll try that next time," she said. "You better have had nothing to do with that explosion." I laughed darkly, trying not to think of Ron's family or the cab drivers. "Fire and twisted metal is my calling card, remember?" She growled. "I swear, Jake, I never met somebody with your proclivity to leave behind such death and destruction. Live by the sword, die by the sword." I could have sworn I'd heard Sister Bautista say that. It was the first time I'd thought of her in weeks. My response shut Chris up. The silence dragged on and became awkward, but I wasn't about to break it. She wanted something more. She had not called just to yell. I still hadn't figured out why Chris bothered with me or even who she worked for. She had initially claimed to be FBI, but I'd long since discovered the lie, and she had admitted as much. I suspected she worked for a Daigon competitor. Imtol Limited was my best guess, but I was beginning to wonder if maybe it was Data Raider. "I have a job for you," she said, just as I was thinking of hanging up on her. I laughed, hard. "You have a funny way of recruiting me," I said. "Have you found the children?" "Despite my disapproval of your methods," she said, ignoring my question, "my employer has a particular fondness for you. Don't ask. I can't explain it. I don't feel near as much sympathy for you as he does." I shook my head. It was further proof she worked with somebody on the opposite side of the aisle from Daigon. This was about obtaining competitive intelligence, and if possible, gaining an advantage in the marketplace. I fought corporate tyranny. I did not want to bring down Peck and Reed, only to have them replaced by somebody else. "No thanks." I hung up. I was done working for companies with ambiguous purposes. A notification popped up on my phone. "Wanted terrorist Jake Ramsey has been spotted in your area. Remain calm and do not approach. The police have been notified." I could not help but smile. Spectrum was indeed a double-edged sword. Did Peck even suspect that I kept it running on my phone, hidden in a sea of millions of others? I took a breath and looked around, pretending to be curious, and noticed that a woman had approached me on the sidewalk. She looked up and our eyes met. My guess was that I had been picked up by her phone. A second passed and then two before she looked away. I watched from the corner of my eye for any indication she had recognized me, but nothing seemed odd about her demeanor. She did not change direction and kept on the path that went right by me. After she had gone, I went the opposite direction. When nobody was looking, I swapped out my jacket and hat. I stuffed them back into my bag and continued on my way. I only discarded clothes that I'd worn during an active event, keeping all the others. While I walked, I considered what to do next. Ron had been my line into Data Raider. I needed to find the kids. I reviewed my options, hoping I could come up with a plan to worm my way into the inner workings of Data Raider. I was not a coder. Hacking the system was out unless I was willing to involve Chris in her company. I was careful to relegate my speed as I headed out of the park, even when a cop car parked right in front of me. Having no other choice but to look natural, I continued forward. My messenger bag was on my back, and there was no way for me to reach inside of it without drawing the cop's attention. I had to play it out, hoping my disguise did not give me away. A raindrop hit my face, and I kept from touching to see if the makeup was running. It was supposed to be waterproof, but I did not trust it. The police officer got out of the car. "Hands where I can see them," he motioned with his hand. "Drop the bag." That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.